chapter 6 tonight. Let's open our Bibles now. Then we had, I think I really hit the nail on the head bringing this up last time. Stuff like this, just common, down-to-earth, practical things that people need. And I don't know many parents at all, Christian parents, that don't say, hey, I'll take all the preaching I can get on raising kids. I'll take all the advice I can get. Because there's never been a time when it's like it is, raising kids like it is tonight. And I know most of you have kids, and some of you got them on the way, and some of you, maybe some of them are done grown. And if your kids are done grown, you got grandkids coming on. So we all need this tonight. And Lord have mercy, what a time it is. You know, even when these teenagers in here were born, the world wasn't like it is now. Wasn't like the internet and all this stuff that they got to distract them. Wasn't like it is now. Yeah, things were different. And then you go on back a generation from that, things was really different. And then you go on back one more generation, brother, it's daylight and dark. If you go back into the 1920s and 1930s when our grandparents were here and then our parents came along, and then we came along, and then our kids came along. It gets crazier every generation. But I believe the Lord's got the power to help us with our kids. And I've been in this thing long enough to see a lot of kids come up. And every person I've ever met thought they had all the answers. Come find out they got disappointed. And I was talking to somebody today. Somebody saying, well, Brother Danny, you're really blessed with your girls in church like that. No, it was last night. And I said, yeah, I sure have. Now, most preachers, just about every preacher I ever met, had one or more of his kids just go wild, go completely crazy. And sometimes all of them. And the devil fights preachers' kids. And the devil fights, you can have them in church since they're born, and the devil's still going to throw stuff at them. Can you give me up just a little bit, brother, on this? But look at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, brethren and sistren, that is easier said than done. Bible said there, Bible's a little pot that went out. Didn't touch it. Battery must have went dead. That's easier said than done. That's very, very, very easier said than done. The Bible said two parts there in that verse. Provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the fear and nurture and admonition of the Lord. One of the hardest things, I guess the hardest thing for me as a parent, was when to figure out, am I being too strict or am I being too lenient? That's one of the hardest things you're going to have to deal with as a parent. And I can't answer that for you. Every kid's different. Every home is different. Well, and I'll tell you something else. You can have two or three and they'll all be different. You might not be able to deal with one like you dealt with the other. And then that's going to make them think, well, Daddy, you didn't do that to me or didn't do that to her, because all their personalities are different. I know as a parent, we have certain rules in our homes that we go by. You can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this, you can't do that. We don't give in on. But there's other things that are, well, you know, in a case like this, I tell you where a lot of people make a mistake. A lot of people make a mistake because they're so proud. We as parents get so full of pride, and we're scared to death we're going to look bad in front of the brethren or the sistren or, you know, the preacher or the deacons, that sometimes we do things that are unreasonable to our kids to try to keep up a good front with the church people. And that's not a good idea. It's really not. Now, I think a man ought to raise his kids right, and a woman ought to discipline her kids and everything like that. But I'm going to tell you, you are responsible for raising your kid. You're responsible before God of how you raise them children. I can get up here and I can preach, and I can advise you on certain things that we all should do. But these individual choices that you're going to have to make, that's going to be between you and God. I know there are churches where the preacher tries to absolutely control everybody's life, personal life,
where the kid, what they, how they dress, everything. Now, there again, there's certain standards that we should go by, but it just ain't gonna work. It ain't gonna work for me to stand here and try to control every area of your life. I know preachers that do that. I know preachers that try to do that. I know one in another state who tried to do that for years. He tried to do that for years. And it was like he was king and they were the slaves. Whatever he said went, and them people bowed at his feet nearly. I mean, if he told them not to go somewhere, they didn't go. If he told them a certain kind of shoes they couldn't wear, they didn't wear them. And he told them a certain length they could. And it wasn't Bible. It was just his own personal, you know, preferences and things like that. And right now, his church has tore all to pieces, and he just resigned, and another preacher threatened to sue him, and it's just a big old mess. And that's where stuff like that always winds up. Oh, you get into a bunch of legalistic stuff where people are forced, all of them. It's like this. It's like this. And it's, there's ditches on both sides of the road. I think a Christian ought to be set apart from the world. Amen. Bible says that. Bible said, come out from among them, be ye separate, touch not the unclean thing, But there's something funny. Listen to me. There's something off a little bit when you can see a woman in town and tell what church she goes to. Something ain't right somewhere. And there are some churches like that. They, everyone wear the same hairstyle. They, everyone wear the same, they, everyone, you know, I'm, and please don't take me wrong. I believe a Christian ought to look like a Christian out in public. I think you ought to be decent. I think you should be modest in your apparel, everything. I think, and the Bible teaches that. But I don't think we're supposed to be clones. I don't think. I know churches where all the preacher boys dress the same way as the preacher, have the same hairstyle as the preacher, have the thing. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying, you know, it's going to be hard for Brother Mike to have my hairstyle. Amen. That don't mean he's not right with God. Amen. It'd be hard for me to have his hairstyle or his, you know, and the Bible don't say that it says it's shame for man to have long hair. It does say that. We can all agree on that. But I know a church where a member called me, and this member said, she said, all our guys, they all wear dark green or dark brown, or they don't, you know, that like this, and I wear that because somebody said it's going to be cold. But we shouldn't. Is it cold in here now? Is it too cold? Well, I got a long sleeve shirt and a jacket, and Yun's got on them little old T-shirt. It's okay. I don't care if whatever y'all are comfortable with will do. But anyway, what I'm saying is, it's almost cultish. It's almost cultish when people are known a certain church. Well, women can't wear no makeup, or your dress has to be down past your knees. Or now, hold on a second. Hold on. I think a woman's dress ought to come past your knees. I think they should. But that does not make you right with God, and it does not make you your kids more spiritual. I think they ought to, but I think they ought to do it for the glory of God, not because a preacher made a rule. Amen? According to the Bible. According to the Bible. Now, you get into all kinds of things. When you start a Christian school, you've got to have rules. When you've got to have some kind of standards. There should be certain standards we have for, you know, like Brother Jason, Garnett Tide and I think a man that gets up here and stands in front of the church ought to be dressed nice as he possibly can. I really do. But, I mean, the Bible don't say we have to do that. The Bible don't say wear a tie. I think we should because it's expected of us. People expect it. If George Bush comes on, he makes a speech, and a man gets something, they expect him to be dressed in a suit and a tie. That's our culture. I think if the Lord was here and he come to a Billy Graham crusade and Jesus was here in the flesh, he'd have on a suit and a tie. I don't think he'd be wearing a robe like they wore in Jerusalem. Do y'all? Some of y'all think he'd be wearing a robe. No, if he was here living, you know what he wore when he was here? The contemporary clothing of the businessman of his day. Or just an average man, really. Average man. I don't even know if he wore clothes of a businessman. I heard one of them preachers, I forgot who it was, said, I heard that queers invented ties. That's what he said. And he said, years and years ago, he said, if I can ever find one proof of it, I'll never wear another. That'd be a blessing, wouldn't it? I never did have to wear another one. But I don't know. When you come to raising your kids, what I'm saying is, there's certain things the Bible's absolutely clear on, and there's other things that you're going to have to work out between husband and wife and God and children. Now, a preacher can give his advice. I've read books. I've got tapes. I've got videos. I've got all how to raise your children, what to let them do, what not to let them do, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I've seen people do that, and their kids turn out mean as a devil. And that don't make it wrong, though. Don't make it wrong. I've heard people say, well, they took them to church all their life and they rebelled against it. Well, you still ought to take them to church all their life. Amen? That's right. You still ought to take your kids to church. Whether even if they do rebel against it, they ought to be taught right. I mean, if you don't raise them up right, they sure ain't going, they don't ain't rebel against. But bring them up in the fear and nurture and admonition of the Lord. And that is more than just saying, you can't do this, you can do this, you can't do this. It's more than that. You can do that. You should do that. But it's Christian life is a lifestyle. It's a philosophy. It's a daily thing that you live in front of your kids. It's not well, we're Christians, so you can't do this. That's where them Amish groups and all this stuff is. Up north, they have more rules than you can shake a stick. They don't believe in having a radio. They won't have a TV. They won't have electricity. They don't have cars. And their kids are full of the devil. Amen? And you know why they don't have all that stuff? Because they believe it's worldly. And it probably is. But what was worldly before they invented all this stuff? If you heard a preacher preach, an independent Baptist preacher preach now on worldliness, he would say long hair, short skirts, the movies, all this stuff. And all that stuff is worldly. But listen, brother, when the Bible was written, when Paul wrote to Timothy, he had said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. And he talked about worldly lust, and there wasn't no TV, there wasn't no movies or nothing back then. What was he talking about? You ever wondered what was Paul talking about when he said worldly lust? What was worldly lust back in them days? They didn't wear shorts. They didn't. Well, I ain't never seen none of them. Maybe they did. I don't know. And over in Proverbs it said the woman had the attire of an harlot. I don't know exactly what that meant, but I've heard preachers try to say there was a certain dress that identified a woman as a harlot, a prostitute. But what was worldly back in them days is the system of the world, love of money and wickedness and the flesh and stuff like that. But I don't know. About disciplining your kids, about where you're going to let them go, where you're not going to let them go, sports. Some kids will not allow their kids to, some parents will not allow their kids to play any kind of sports. I have known Christian people who forbid their children to play in any kind of sports. Anybody ever known anybody like that? And I had good friends of mine, let's say, that grew up same time I did, and this boy's daddy would not let him play sports. Because he said it was the world, it was worldly, there's wicked things, people bet on them games and all that kind of stuff, and would not let them. And that boy grew up his whole life, and he wanted to play baseball so bad he couldn't stand it, and he never did get to play. And then you have other parents who that's all their kids think about is sports, and they miss church services, and miss, I know a family right now that comes to church about one out of every 10 services because their boy's playing so many sports. Now, they're both wrong. Both of them's wrong. Amen? Both of them's wrong. A kid should be allowed, in my opinion, to play sports. I think it's healthy for them. I'll give you a personal testimony. Playing basketball, me growing up, kept me out of a lot of mess. It really did. You could not, of course, in them days, you know, we prayed for ball games. You couldn't smoke. If they caught you smoking, you was off the team. Even on Saturday or Sunday, brother, if you was caught smoking, you was gone. You didn't play. Our coach didn't put up with it. And it teaches you. Sports teaches, it's like the army. It teaches you how to endure. It teaches you teamwork. It teaches a kid how to stand up for, you know, and be a part of a team. And so I think some people shelter their kids so much, and they're afraid to let them out of the house, afraid they'll sin. And when the kid gets out, they ain't got no sense. But then I know some people that let their kids just go wild. Y'all, I mean, are y'all listening to me tonight? I mean, some of you are just sort of sitting there looking, and I see a few heads nodding. But, I mean, I don't claim to have all the answers. I really don't. And some of you got these little babies growing up. I know some of you mamas got these little bitty babies coming up. You'll say, my kid's never going to do this, and my kid's never going to do this. My kid's going to do this. Well, you wait and see. You wait and see. It's so different when they come in. And they say, but mama, every kid in our school gets to do it but me. I'm the only one that don't get to go to this thing. I'm the only one that don't get to go see this movie. I'm the only one. Now, they're lying when they say that, but they'll make you think that every kid who gets to do it and they're going to be the outcast and fail and everything if you don't let them do what they want to do. But y'all are welcome to help me with this anytime you want to. Just raise your hand and say something. But there is a balance that you've got to find as a Christian to put God first, honor Him, and yet do things with your kids without them becoming worldly, but at the same time, they can't be a bunch of little nuts locked up in a house that don't even know how to play ball when they get outside. Really? Anybody got a thing to say? I tell you what, I wouldn't want my kid playing on a football team or a pucko. I wouldn't. I mean, if you do, I'm not judging you. But because I know what goes on, I think the answer is Christian school. The answer is Christian school or homeschool. I don't judge you if your kid play on a public school team. But I'm going to tell you, they can get into some wickedness going off on these ball trips with the cheerleaders and after the game and going here and going there and doing this. And buddy, you wouldn't believe what goes on. I say it kept me out of a lot of trouble. And it did, because if I hadn't been playing ball, I'd been playing music, because I really wanted to play music. But I loved basketball better than music. And nowadays, I don't know. I think I like music better now because I'm in church and hear it all the time. But back then, I liked basketball better than music. If I hadn't played basketball, I was going to play music. And I remember our band, we was having band practice, and I was in Nebo Gym, and Coach Laney was in there. And, buddy, I was working my head off trying to make the varsity, like in the 10th grade. And them boys in our band come in the gym. They come to our gym and said, hey, we need him. We're having band practice. And the coach looked at me and looked at them, like, what are you going to do? And I said, boys, I'm sorry. And it wasn't long after that till we broke up. They kicked me out or whatever. And I said, it didn't bother me a bit. I was doing what I wanted to do. And so for that reason, basketball kept me out of a lot of trouble. But at the same time, I know kids that go off on these football trips and they stay in motels and they wind up getting drunk and they wind up girls getting pregnant and everything else. That's a mess. So the answer to that is Christian school. Some of y'all do real good. I think about Brother Derek. Brother Derek does a lot with his boys playing ball. And I think that is the best answer, is to go with them. With them, you'll know what they're doing. They ride with you. They get return with you. And they still get to play. Amen? I think that's good. I think a parent ought to be involved. All three of my girls played some kind of something or another. They played ball. Lord, I remember Corey played that little bitty stuff, little t-ball and stuff, when she was about 5 years old. Krista played volleyball. They all played some basketball and stuff, and I didn't get to go because I was always preaching where. But I had been to Christian school, and I knew the people they was riding to the game too, and I knew who they was riding back with. That don't make it perfect, but that's the best you can do. That the best you can do is know the people they're riding the ball game with. I don't know how I got off on all that. Anybody want to say something on all that? Nobody. Look out now. Yeah, yeah, right. Well, it's tough, and you brought up something, my brother, about a single parent. When you're a single parent, that's like five times harder. When you have to be the mother and the daddy, and you don't, you feel like you don't really do good at either one of them, that's a whole lot harder. And I believe this. I believe the devil has a special plan and attack on kids that come from single parent homes, because he knows there's a way in. And most of the kids that get in trouble, the law, you can ask them, was your parents divorced? And just about every one of them say, yeah. Just about every one of them. The devil has a way of getting them. So if you're a single parent, you got to work doubly hard and pray hard. And I tell you, people ask me all the time, say, Brother Danny, how'd you do it? I tell you how I did it. I put them in the hands of people I trusted when I was gone. That's all you can do. You got to know somebody that you go to church with and trust them with your kids. And when you can't be there, that they'll be there for them. Kathy Parker, you know, Miss Kathy, it's coming around. Man, I trusted her. And I said, all right, Kathy, don't let them do this. Don't let them do that. Of course, they talked her into stuff. Didn't you? Yeah. I heard earlier that you just talked her into stuff. But I knew Kathy would only let them go so far. And she'd lay the law down. And that's when you're a single parent, buddy, you got your work cut out for you. You better be doing some praying, because it's hard, but it's 10 times harder with just one or the other. I think it's my opinion. I might be wrong. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think if you got to have a single parent, girls are better off without a mom and have a daddy, and boys are better off the other way. I think boys are better off with a mama and girls are better off with a daddy. That's just my opinion. I might be wrong. I've not lived long enough. Check back with me in 30 years and I might, and see if I still believe that. Anybody want to say anything? Yeah. Oh, I'm sure we've all got stories like that. I done stuff my mom and dad still don't know about. Now, I'll tell you why I said a while ago. I saw a funny look on some of y'all's faces. I'll tell you why I said about a daddy. Because girls, if there's no daddy in the home, most of the time a girl's going to grow up, and the first guy that comes by and pays them a little attention, they fall in love with them, wind up going with them. Most of the time. Not always. That's why I said that. Anybody else? But if there's a daddy, it helps. Buddy Gary. Yeah, can't do it. That's right. It's hard to do it. It's impossible to do them both. So just do the best you can and get somebody to help you. Get somebody to help you. Have some kind of a... I know ladies who would take their kids to church and have a male person that their kids could look up to that would take them camping and stuff, and there was nothing in between, no kind of romantic relationship between her and the man. He just helped the woman with her kids. I think that's great. I think that's tremendous. If there's a man in the church, take them boys camping or take them fishing or just something, you know, woman, you know, that just don't normally get to do, that's just wonderful. And this thing's going completely different than I thought it was going to go tonight. I got notes I was going to teach you, and I ain't even looked at them. I'm just talking like we was all sitting in my living room. Anybody else? Anybody else want to say anything? Linda? Yeah, you did. Linda kept mine many a time. Well, yours has one sitting right there beside you on shouting ground right now. She's doing pretty good. She's doing pretty good. I don't know. She brought up something there where, like Eric, I'm sure you're referring to. Is it something in the genes that they're born with, that come family? And I don't know. You don't? I don't know. Yeah. That's true. That's true. Yeah. Yeah. I did too. I did too. I did too. And she's right. Everybody's got their mind to make up. But I won't say this. Longer I live this too. I don't know. Y'all tell me what you think about this. You got some smart people here. Y'all tell me. What? Like, say a kid comes from a daddy was an alcoholic, his daddy was an alcoholic, his daddy was an alcoholic, just a long string. And that kid raised in a home don't even know who his daddy is. Statistics say that that kid still has a good chance of becoming an alcoholic. It's a weakness. I don't think you're born an alcoholic, but I think you're born with certain weaknesses that other people. Now, I don't know that. I don't think it's inherited. I don't think alcoholism's inherited. Like, hey, everybody makes up their own mind. But I don't know. I don't know. What do y'all think about that? Yeah. Yeah, I've heard that. It's a generational curse passed down the fathers. There's stuff in the Bible like that. They sure are. They sure are. Yeah. Yeah. How many of you men feel like this? You got a lot of your daddy in you and you have to fight it all the time. I do. I got some good parts of my daddy and I... my kids raised their hand. I got the good part of my daddy. My daddy had some good points and he had some bad points and I got it all inside me. And I had to fight the bad part. Don't you y'all do that? And my daddy's dead and gone. But I can still... I catch myself thinking like he thinks or he thought and looking at stuff like he thinks. And it can be good and it can be bad. So some of that stuff's inherited, but I don't think you're going to say, oh, my daddy's a drunk, so I'm doomed to be a drunk. You know, that ain't right. That ain't no excuse. But a person, it's like this. Seeing some men are maybe smaller framed and their kids are smaller framed, no matter how they're raised. Some men are bigger boned and their kids are bigger no matter how they're raised. So there's something there about coming down from your parents. But you can overcome it and turn out right if you want to. I don't care if your daddy's Marilyn Manson. Look at Madeline Mary O'Hara's son. He turned out to be a preacher. So God can make a difference. God can make a difference in a person's life. Anybody else? Yeah, definitely. 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 You definitely get your temper from your daddy. If he's got a quick temper, if he's easygoing or calm, or if he's sort of laid back, or if he's real loud and boisterous. Brother Mike? So if it hadn't been for the Lord, you'd be one tonight. But what she said was, it was your choice. Or you didn't say, well, I can't help it because my dad drank, so I've got to drink. It was your choice. But why do you think kids who grow up in that wind up doing the same thing? Somebody tell me. Yeah. That's right. That's right. That's exactly right, Brother Eric. No doubt. No doubt. It's like if a man beats his wife, more than likely his son will hit his wife and abuse his wife or kids. A lot of times the kids are abused growing up and abusing. Sometimes it works the opposite way. They grow up and say, hey, I've seen my daddy do that all my life, and I ain't going to do it. If God works in their heart. So, you know, I don't know. Don't ask me. Amen. Amen. Well, my dad was an alcoholic before I got saved. And I remember thinking, I don't want to do that. I remember thinking, even, and I wasn't even saved. And I remember thinking, I don't want to do that. And then when I got saved, of course, buddy, I got on the rampage against it. I preached and screamed and hollered against it. But I remember, and then other kids will think, well, daddy does it. Cool, I'll do it. People's different. Anybody else? Right quick. We're going to have to stop. But we didn't even get into our lesson tonight, but this has been good. We've been a little psychology here. It's just like being a homosexual is not genetic. I don't believe anybody's homosexual. I don't. And I know Christians who believe that some people's born homosexual. I don't. There's no homosexual dogs. There's no homosexual animals. It's something they choose. The devil puts in front of them and they make a choice. But I think more people have tendencies. Some boys are just naturally sissy. They really are. Ever since, and they don't even know what a homosexual is. They're naturally sissy. And then the devil comes along and says, guess what? You're supposed to be a girl. And they believe it. And and the demon deceives them. Seducing spirits. But I don't know. There's a lot of stuff. And if anybody ever tells you, say, well, I'm not a sinner because I'm a homosexual and I was born this way, you just tell them this. Even if you are born that way, it's still wrong. We was born liars. And God said, don't lie. We was born with sinful nature, but God said, still don't do it. Anybody else, right quick, before we stop. I was going to talk about discipline, you kids, and discipline them too hard or too easy, and where to draw the line, and how much discipline to put on a kid. And you know, last time we talked about letting them go spend the night with people and stuff like that, I was going to talk to you about getting all their friends to come and spend the night with them and do it on Saturday night. One of the best evangelistic things you can do, let your kids have their friends over on Saturday night and then bring them to church with you on Sunday. You might wind up reaching that whole family for the Lord. Okay? Anybody else before we quit? Well, amen. This has been good tonight. It's made me think. And I know it has you. If you don't have kids, maybe you're raising grandkids or help, you can pass this great wisdom along to them, and read the Word of God. Put your nose in this book and try to raise your kids according to the book, and it'll turn out right. Okay? All righty. Before we go, let's have just a little quick bus meeting.